I moved into my grandparents' cabin, I don't think I'm alone here. When my grandfather passed, I inherited his cabin by the lake. It wasn't much, one story, drafty in winter, built back when insulation meant more wood. But it was quiet, peaceful. At least, that's what I thought. I moved in last fall. The air smelled like wet pine, and the lake behind the house looked like black glass at night. I'd stand on the back porch with a beer, listening to the crickets and the occasional splash from fish breaking the surface. For the first month, it was perfect. No neighbors for a mile, no traffic, no city noise. Then I started hearing it. The first time, it was around 2 a.m. I'd fallen asleep on the couch and woke up to what sounded like someone slowly dragging a shovel through the mud outside. Long, wet scrapes. Pauses between them, like they were listening for something. I sat up, held my breath, and it stopped. The next morning, I checked the shore. There was a line in the mud, about 4 inches deep, starting from the tree line and ending at the water's edge. No footprints, just that strange stretch. After that, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was watching the cabin at night. I kept the curtains closed, but every so often, I'd hear that same dragging sound outside. Always started in the woods and ending towards the water. Always stopping when I got too close to the windows. One night in December, I caught it. I woke up to the sound again, this time closer, right outside the porch. I crept to the back door and pulled aside the curtain just enough to peek. There was something standing in the frost-covered yard, backlit by the moon. It was tall, at least 7 feet, with limbs too long for its body. Its skin hung in loose folds, like it had been stretched over the wrong frame. It was holding something in one hand. A stick, maybe. No, not a stick. It was a long, pale spine. The sound I had heard was it dragging the tip of it through the frozen dirt. Its head. God, its head. It didn't have a face. Not in the way we do. Just a long vertical slit, opening and closing like gills, flexing in the cold air. I must have made some noise, because its head snapped towards me, that slit opening wide enough to show rows of needle-thin teeth inside. Then it turned and walked into the lake. Not into the shallows, straight in, until the water swallowed it whole. I tried to convince myself I was dreaming, but over the next week, I found more of those trenches in the mud. Always leading to the water, always starting closer to the cabin. Last night, it changed. I woke up to the sound again, dragging, slow, but this time it didn't stop. It moved around the cabin, circling it. Once, twice. Then it stopped at the front door. The porch creaked. And then I heard it tapping. Something sharp, rapping on the wood in slow, steady beats. Three taps. Pause. Three taps. Like it was waiting. I didn't open the door. I waited with the kitchen knife in my hand until dawn. When I finally got the nerve to check outside, the porch was covered in frost, except where it had stood. The boards there were slick with something that wasn't ice. It was thick, almost gelatinous, and smelled faintly like blood. It's almost midnight now. The cabin feels smaller somehow. The lake's black surface is perfectly still. And somewhere out there, I could hear it dragging that spine again, this time coming from the shoreline towards me. I think it's getting bolder. I double-checked every lock in the cabin. Front door, back door, windows, even the crawlspace hatch under the kitchen. Every latch slid into place with a soft click that felt far too quiet against the sound outside. The dragging had stopped. That was worse. I stood in the living room, knife in one hand, flashlight in the other, listening. The only sound was my own breathing, quick, uneven. Then, from somewhere behind the cabin, I heard it. A low, deliberate creak of wood under weight. The back porch. I forced myself to keep still, every muscle in my body rigid. The sound came again, closer this time, and then there was a new one, the faint rasp of nails, or claws, tracing the length of the siding. It was walking the perimeter. The scratching moved from the back to the side, dragging low near the foundation, then high up by the windows, testing the walls, measuring me. I thought about turning on the outside floodlights. Then I thought about the possibility of seeing it. My hands shook so badly, I nearly dropped the flashlight. When I reached the front of the cabin, it stopped. Silent again. I kept my eyes on the floor, heart hammering so hard I could feel it in my throat. Then, the tapping. Three slow knocks, each one heavier than the last, making the door shudder in its frame. Pause. Three more. It did that for nearly a minute, then the sound changed. A wet, rhythmic thud against the wood, like it was pressing something heavy into the door and dragging it down. I imagined that pale spine, slick with whatever was on the porch boards the night before, leaving streaks down the grain. I backed away towards the bedroom, still facing the door. My plan was to lock myself in, maybe wedge the dresser against it. But before I could move more than a few steps, the cabin groaned. Not from the door. From above. My stomach dropped. The roof. I could hear it moving, each step bending the old beams just enough to make them moan. It was slow, deliberate, pacing the length of the house like a predator above a cage. Dust drifted down from the ceiling fan as it stopped directly over me. That's when I heard it breathe. It wasn't the kind of breath you'd take through lungs. It was a deep, vibrating pull of air that made the walls hum, like the cabin itself was being inhaled. And mixed into it was a faint, wet clicking, like teeth snapping together in some private rhythm. I didn't move, didn't blink. My legs felt hollow, barely able to hold me up. Then something fell from the ceiling. It landed right in front of me. A piece of wood no bigger than my thumb, splintered and dark with moisture. I looked up, and for the briefest second, I saw it between the slats. That slit where its face should be, teeth flexing inside, wet with strands of something that clung like spider silk. It slid out of view again. That was it. I bolted for the bedroom and locked the door. I shoved the dresser in front of it, then sat on the floor with my back against the wall, knife pointed at the door like I'd be able to do anything if it came in. It paced the roof for what felt like hours. Every so often, it would stop, and I'd hear that long, deep inhale again. Only this time, I realized it wasn't drawing in the cabin. It was smelling me. At some point, the pacing stopped entirely. The silence that followed was somehow worse. I strained to hear anything. Footsteps, scratching, the drag of the spine. But there was nothing. I thought maybe it had left. Then the bedroom window behind me began to bulge. The glass didn't crack. It didn't shatter. It pushed inward, like something was pressing against it from outside. The bulge grew, stretching until I could see the faintest outline of that slit, teeth just barely visible under the thin distortion of the glass. It didn't strike. It didn't try to break in. It just stayed there, breathing against the window until the pain was fogged over from the inside. And then, so slowly I almost missed it, the fog began to pull back, like it was drawing my air out with it. When the sun finally rose, the window was clear. The roof was empty. The porch was bare. But in the frost at the end of the driveway, I found a single mark. A trench in the dirt, starting at the road and ending at my front steps. It's almost midnight again now, and I could hear it coming back. I've been awake all day. No naps, no dozing on the couch. I wanted to be alert for tonight. Didn't matter. When darkness settled over the lake, the exhaustion hit me like a drug. My eyelids felt weighed, my head thick and heavy. It wasn't just lack of sleep. It felt imposed, like the air was laced with something pulling me under. I fought it by pacing the cabin. Flashlight sweeping every corner. The walls creaked in the cold, but beneath that, I could hear the lake. A soft, constant lap, lap, lap of water on the shore. And over it, faintly, that dragging sound again. I killed every light inside. If it wanted to see me, it could have to look through the dark. I stationed myself in the kitchen, where I could see both the front and back doors. The dragging came closer, circling the cabin. Then it stopped. I didn't hear it for almost 5 minutes. Then the sound came again, inside the walls. The noise was subtle at first, like something brushing along the insulation. Then it got heavier, shifting, moving from the kitchen wall towards the living room. The boards shivered with each scrape, like it was wedging itself through spaces too small for anything human. I backed up, keeping my knife raised. The sound reached the corner where the chimney met the wall and stopped. A soft, hollow thunk came from the fireplace. I had never used it. The flue had been closed since I moved in. Now, the metal lever clinked once, twice, before the cover inside began to bulge downward. Bits of soot fell into the empty hearth. Something was forcing the flue open from the wrong direction. The cover gave with a sharp metallic ping, swinging down hard enough to rattle the fire tools on their hooks. For a moment, there was only darkness inside. Then a hand slid into view. It was too long, too thin. The skin was that same loose, folded hide I had seen before. But it shifted unnaturally, like something was swimming just beneath it. The fingers bent in ways they shouldn't as they searched along the brick, tapping and probing. They reached the edge of the hearth and stopped. The tips turned upwards towards me, slowly, deliberately. I stepped back, the fingers curled into a beckoning motion. I don't remember deciding to run, but suddenly I was in the bedroom, shoving the dresser harder against the door than before. My breath came in quick bursts, and each one felt stolen from me. For a few moments, I heard nothing. Then, faint, nearly inaudible, came a tapping from the other side of the bedroom wall. It started near the floor, rose higher, then higher still, until it was right over my head. That's when I remembered the attic. The cabin didn't have a proper attic, just a low crawl space above the ceiling, accessible from a panel in the hallway. I could hear the sound moving across it now, the boards flexing with each crawl. The panel creaked. It didn't fall open. Instead, I saw one corner pressed downward slightly, like something was testing it. A single hairline crack appeared in the wood. Then another. Dust fell in thin streams. And in the dust were little wet spots, like condensation from breath. I held the knife so tight my hand went numb. I was ready for the panel to drop, ready for it to pour through. But it didn't. Instead, the sound moved back across the ceiling towards the living room. And then came the worst part. Silence. I sat there for nearly an hour before I worked up the courage to check. I slid the dresser away in small jerks, every creak loud enough to make my chest ache. When I stepped into the hall, the panel was flush again, no sign it had moved. The living room was empty. The kitchen was empty. Even the hearth looked untouched. I started to think maybe it had given up. Then I saw the front door. The deadbolt was still locked. The chain was still in place. But the entire door frame was subtly warped, bowed inward like it had been under immense pressure from the outside. And in the center of the door, pressed into the wood, was the shape of a handprint. Too large, too thin, with fingers that tapered into points. It hadn't been trying to get in through one way. It had been testing all of them. I'm writing this now as the sun comes up, but I don't know how much longer I can stay here. It's learning the cabin, learning me. Last night, it tried the roof, the walls, the fireplace, the attic, and the door. Tonight, it might not try at all. Tonight, it might succeed. I didn't sleep at all today. Not that it matters anymore. I nailed the windows shut, wedge-locked the doors, stuffed blankets into the fireplace, and duct-taped them in place. Even put a chair under the attic panel so I'd hear it fall. The cabin feels like a coffin I've built for myself. The lake is wrong tonight. It's too still. Like the water itself is holding its breath. Even the crickets have gone silent. The air feels thicker, almost humid, but cold enough to make my teeth ache. I'm sitting at the kitchen table with the knife and flashlight in front of me. I keep telling myself I'm ready. That if it comes, I'll know where to hit. But there's no plan here. No strategy. Just waiting. The first sound isn't dragging. It's knocking. Not at the door. From inside the walls. It's moving fast, circling me in tight loops, the sound bouncing from one corner of the cabin to the next. The boards are trembling, dust falling in little showers. Then the knocks stop. From somewhere above, the roof bows inward, creaking under weight. I glance at the attic panel, still closed, still pinned under the chair. Something drips onto the kitchen table. I look up. The ceiling above me is damp, water stains spreading outward in a slow bloom. But it's not water. It's the same gelatinous, faintly bloody stuff I found on the porch weeks ago. Another drop lands on my hand. It's warm. The attic panel doesn't open. It bursts, knocking the chair aside, wood splintering as something unfolds itself through the gap. I see limbs first. Too many to count in the moment, sliding down the wall, folding over the counter, bracing against the floor. And then the head. That slit where its face should be flexes wide, and I hear it. Not a roar, not a hiss, but a deep inhalation that makes the lights flicker. The air feels thinner instantly, my chest tightening as it pulls at something deeper than breath. I run. I don't remember making the choice, but suddenly I'm at the back door, kicking the chair away from the handle, fumbling with the locks. Behind me, the thing's limbs slap against the floor in uneven rhythms, scraping, reaching. I slam the door open and bolt into the night. The cold bites through me immediately, the air wet and sharp. The lake's black surface stares back at me, and for a second, I consider running for the tree line instead. But there's movement between the pines. Too tall, too thin, more than one. The water is my only option. I make it halfway down the slope before something hits the porch behind me. The sound is heavy, final, like it's dropped from the roof to give chase. I don't look back. I could hear it though. That wet spine dragging through the grass as it runs. The shoreline is slick. I nearly fall as I hit the shallows, but I don't stop. I dive into the freezing water, kicking hard until the cabin is a shadow against the hill. I turn then, just to see if it followed. It's standing at the shore, perfectly still, watching. The slit in its head opens wide, teeth flashing in the moonlight, and then it does something I haven't heard before. It laughs. Not a human laugh, not even close. But the rhythm is there, the rise and fall, like it's mocking me for thinking the lake could save me. Then it steps forward into the water. I don't remember swimming to the far side. I don't remember climbing out. I remember waking up at dawn on the gravel road, barefoot, shivering so hard I couldn't speak. The sheriff drove me into town. I didn't tell him what happened. I just said someone broke in. He offered to send someone to check the property, but I told him to let it go. Because I know what they'll find. Nothing. I'm writing this from a motel 20 miles away, but I can't stop looking at the bathroom door. It's shut, but every now and then, I hear a faint dripping sound behind it. If you're anywhere near the lake east of Miller's Crossing, if you hear dragging in the night, don't look out the window. It doesn't matter how well you lock your doors. It's already inside.
Oh yeah, baby, that was juicy. You want some more? There's more where that came from. Taco Bell, baby!